All right, guys, you want to spread out a little bit more this time, huh? Working on the little bit of body odor this time of day, I think. Glad you could be here for this last afternoon session. Speaker this hour is Wayne Holt. And, of course, Wayne's been up before you several times already in the last couple of days. He is one of our elders here. And he's going to talk to you about teaching. Wayne is a tremendous organizer. And he will be able to share with you, I think, some things that will really help you to be organized and prepared to teach. In fact, it's through his skill and ability that most of this these young adult classes are able to be pulled off every year, because he's really behind the scenes organizing and putting all this together and all of that sort of thing. So we have a lot of respect for him, his teaching ability, and his ability to help you become better teachers as you strengthen the churches that you're a part of. So Wayne, come talk to us.
Okay, guys, I know it's been a long day, night, last night, long night, long day. But we're down to the to near the end here, so give me attention a few minutes and we'll get through with this and we'll move on. Okay, teaching. This weekend has been a kind of a preparation for this last session, particularly the session that Brent and Scott did the last two times on evangelism and the opposition you might hit when you're teaching and things like that. So we're going to talk more about this, the techniques, the how-to teaching, if you will, in a little while here. Some of you may already be teaching. You may have already been teaching classes. I don't know. But we're going to talk about the style, techniques. There's no right or wrong style. Different styles have been demonstrated this weekend. Different people teaching different ways and things like that. We're going to talk about some points on how to teach. And I'll just tell you up front, many of you have been in my classes. I get into a groove sometime, and I don't always do what I'm going to tell you to do this afternoon. I mean, I'm going to tell you maybe some how it ought to be done type things, in my opinion, but that's not what I always do. So let's dive into it. Let's talk about teaching a little bit. First, teaching is a privilege. And I gave you the blanks in your book there. If you want to write in some things there, we'll talk about why we're doing that a little bit later on here. But teaching is a privilege. I've got three things here. It's a privilege, it's a duty, it's a responsibility. Okay? Three things. Teaching is a privilege, a duty, and a responsibility. Who did that one? Heath, where'd he go? There you go. Yeah. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Lisa? Okay, two very familiar verses. Go ye therefore and do what? Teach all nations, baptizing them. Okay, what are you going to teach them? You're going to teach them the book of Revelation to start with? What are you going to teach them? Talk to me, come on. I'm not chasing. I can stand silent fast too. What are you going to teach them? Christ. Going to teach them the plan of salvation. I mean, you teach them and do what? What's the next thing? Baptize them, okay? So we need to teach them what they need to know in order to become Christians. But then, what does verse 20 say? First part of it. What's the first two or three words in verse 20? Teaching them again, okay? Teaching them this time to do what? To observe all the things I've commanded you. So you teach them, and you have to convert them, and then you teach them some more, do the things that Christ had taught his apostles. But what's one of the things Christ taught his apostles to do? To teach others, to teach others. It's just it's an endless chain. Jesse, read us 2 Timothy 2, 2. Okay. Paul told Timothy, the things you've heard of me, Timothy, what was Paul and Timothy's relationship, his son in the faith, older man, younger man, the things you've heard of me, you do what? You commit them to faithful men who will be able to do what else? Teach others. And what's the chain going to be then? Where did Where did what you know about the Bible come from? Just grab out of there. Somebody taught you, right? Well, where did theirs come from? What's the magic answer? Somebody taught them, and where did it come from? Okay. Now here's the challenge. If it's a chain going that this one teaches, this one teaches, this one teaches, this one, and somebody taught you, what's your next step? Break the chain. End of it, right? Don't think so. That's not what these verses we read just talked about. So, teaching is a privilege, it's a duty, it's a great responsibility. So I want you to think about those things. Okay, teaching is also a time for learning. Teaching is a time for learning. One of the definitions I was reading about for teaching uses these words. To help learn, to tell or to show, to give instructions in a lesson, to call someone to learn or understand. Okay? I want you to pay attention to three words of those things. To help learn, to tell, or to show. Keep those two words, tell and show, in mind. And for the third one, to cause to learn or understand. So tell, show, understand. You'll see those words a little later on. Okay, keep those in mind as we go through there. And this point here. Without learning, there's no teaching. I could stand up here, and, or any of these gentlemen could, and teach, quote, quote, to an empty room. Okay? Is any learning taking place? No. So, it's a two-way thing here. I need you there. And I need you there and involved and tuned in and participating in order to learn. So, teaching is a learning process. And so, without learning, there's no real teaching going on. Okay. What are we going to teach? All right, the Bible's our textbook. We're going to teach the Bible. They say, well, I understand that. Everybody does. Well, that's true, but we need to say it, okay? We need to know that the Bible is our text, and that's what we're teaching. You say, okay, if that's true then, where do workbooks come in? Now, you're going to think I'm real negative on workbooks. I'll kind of cushion it a little later on and be nicer about it. I grew up back in the dark ages, back 50 years ago, okay, 55 years ago, like Ralph back there, maybe 60 years ago, okay. I was coming up through a elementary, maybe junior high school. It was not uncommon in the congregation where I was. We would come into class, and we had a workbook. A teacher would come in and say, you read the first paragraph, okay. You read the second paragraph. Right on the line, you read the third paragraph, and next. So we read the little text in the workbook. And then we finished that, and went, okay, then who's next? I'll queue up number one. True or false? Okay, two. And just go right down the line, right down the line, right down the line. Until we've been through the whole book, and then the rest of the class will be, don't y'all get too loud, disturb the class next door to you. I'm not belittling the person teaching that class. I have no doubt they were doing the best they could. Many of us didn't even bring our workbook to class. All we needed was one workbook filled out. So we had some girl, usually, okay, who would fill out her workbook ahead of time. We would, I'm saying, I'll do what I do now, I'll tell you what happened, okay? Pass that one workbook around, everybody read the answer from it then, and class was over. So that's too often what I grew up with workbooks. So I don't want to be down on workbooks, but I want you to understand that we're not teaching the workbook. Okay? Nothing wrong with them. And I'll have some nicer things to say about workbooks in a minute. Several years ago, probably 15 years ago, we kind of took all the workbooks out of the classes here, at least for the high school down classes, and the teachers started preparing their own material. We started doing the 3-year cycle through the Bible. And you don't know how many comments we heard from elders from people saying, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't prepare the material. I just can't do it. You know what? Never do that now. Everybody does it. I have no doubt we're getting deeper studying, deeper understanding, deeper material prepared for classes than what we were a long time ago. So the next point would be the nicer on workbooks. So, here's the workbooks. Memory work. Tell me something you memorized, maybe particularly in your younger days coming up. As you were in classes, what did you memorize? What? Well, verses? Okay, I'm not too specific verse, but you learned verses, memory verses. Everybody had memory verses growing up. All their, you know, you remember verse today? You know, little children, that's what they talk about there. They'll do it in older classes, I guess. What else you learn besides Scripture? Yeah, the list, okay. You learned the books of the Bible. You learned the plagues, the 12 sons of Jacob. What else? 12 apostles, maybe the kings. Well, here's the list. I'll get up here. Okay, some of these things like this. Did you learn some of these things growing up? Okay, memory works great. Okay, so what to teach? I have no doubt we sometimes fall down and we don't teach more and more memory work. Okay, yes. Yeah, okay. So we just probably need to do more memory work in the adult classes, perhaps, even there. But we're teaching things from the Bible itself. So what to teach? What to teach is the Bible. It's our textbook, and we want to learn from that. So, now, Bible text. The next two slides, if you don't get anything else from the whole session this afternoon, wake up and watch these next two slides. These are our most important points I want you to understand here. When you're teaching, know what your assigned topic is or your assigned text to cover. What is your assigned topic? What is your assigned text? And that's what you want to be sure you cover. Here in our younger classes, we have a three-year program. We go through from Genesis all the way through the narrative of the Bible up to the New Testament. And if I'm teaching invasion and conquest and Judges, what do I expect from the teacher before me? Where do I expect the story to leave off? Children of Israel sitting just on the east side of Jordan, right across from Jericho, ready to go in and start invasion and conquest. That's where my first lesson is going to pick up, right? And where's my lesson going to end? Well, it's going to end at the end of Judges when the nation asks for what? Give us a king, okay? So I need to cover what I'm assigned to cover. And I expect the teacher before me to do the same thing, but when that's there. So know what your assigned text or topic is, and that's what you want to cover. Know your material. And know your assigned material. Can I teach a class on nuclear physics? No. Why? Just go ahead and say it. It's all right. I don't know anything about it. Okay? You're right. Okay? I don't know about nuclear physics. So I couldn't teach it. So know what your assigned material is. Know the lesson. Know what lesson is coming from that particular topic, text, wherever you're assigned to there. And that gets on to the main point here that I want to get to is, what is the text teaching? We want to teach what the text is teaching. Don't go out and start reaching and grabbing for stories and things that are not in that particular text. Now, they may be biblical, but sometimes we start making, I'm going to say stretching the truth, I don't mean it that way, but we get beyond the actual text of what's there, and we start grabbing for stories, and, well, this teaches this, and we stretch it out. So, know what's there, know what's in the text. Now, be nice about workbooks here. Workbooks are good for this point. Workbooks can keep us on the right track. They can give us an outline to follow. But be sure you're teaching the Bible text, not the workbook as a text. See the difference I'm trying to make there? So I'm not trying to be bad on workbooks. I'm just saying the Bible's what we're studying from. We're going to teach it. Use the workbook as our guideline. So be sure to do that. All right, that's the main point. Know the text. Know your assigned lesson. Teach the text. Teach what the lesson, what the text is teaching. So now, who are you going to teach? All right. Across the hall. Sorry, my mouth is really dry. Across the hall, Carla is talking to those ladies about how to teach 2 and 3 and 4 year olds. I'm glad they do it. I don't want to do it. Their attention span is about 3 to 5 minutes. So you sing a couple little songs, and then what do? Well, we stop and we work on, say, a memory verse. Then we get through that, and we jump 5 more minutes later into, we tell a little story. And then we stop and do that, and we do something else. Okay? The attention span is very short, very quick. So that audience is different from you. Okay, I expect your attention span to be a little bit longer than 3 to 5 minutes. Hopefully. Maybe. Okay. So, know your audience. You want to teach things that's appropriate for the age level that you're teaching there. What prior knowledge of the text or topic of your lesson does your audience have? Okay, and like go back to the 3-year cycle I was talking about. I expect the students in the class I'm going into, I'm going to teach Invasion and Conquest, to have a knowledge of what? Everything it took to lead them up to the Invasion and Conquest point, right? That's part of the knowledge that they should have at that point. So they need to understand that, the prior text. Let's look at a couple of examples here about that, the background leading up to that. Acts chapter 8, with the eunuch. When Philip called up with the chariot and started his conversation with the Ethiopian, what did he ask him? What was his first question? Do you understand what you're reading? Okay, and he answered back, how can I what? Except some man, explain it to me here. So Philip took the, and we asked one more question. What was it? The prophet speaking of himself or someone else. Okay? So he needed some background to lead up to teaching him about Christ. So he took that passage there in Isaiah 53 and started teaching him. So Philip needed to understand kind of, okay, where is he? I just came up with this guy. I know nothing about him, and I didn't know where he is. So the understanding of where he was, his background, his reading, then he could take that point and teach him that. Whoops, back up. Acts chapter 19. Paul and Apollos were in Ephesus, and they asked a question of the people there. What's the question? I remember. It's a little less familiar than the other one was. Did you receive the Holy Ghost when you were baptized? What was their answer? What's the Holy Spirit? I mean, we don't worry about it. You know, what is that? Okay. So they had a point there. They start from that point, and they could teach them then about the baptism of Jesus and who he was and things like that. They didn't know that background to fill them up there. And then this is interesting. I want you to see in Acts 2. Turn to Acts chapter 2, and someone read me verse 36. Acts 2, verse 36. Whom what? What's the word? Whom you crucified. All right, go to Acts chapter 4. Flip over a couple of pages to Acts 4 and look at verse 10. Somebody? Acts 4, verse 10. Okay, who crucified? You did. In both cases, who's the audience? Who's he talking to? Jews, okay? Jews, they killed him. Go to Acts chapter 10. You've probably seen this before, but I'll just do this. Acts chapter 10, maybe back to verse 39. 10:39. Okay, what's the change in words? Didn't say whom you crucified, but who, what? They crucified, why? Different audience, okay? He's talking to the Romans now, talking to Cornelius' household. So he's got to apply it to the background of the people he's talking to. So, know who you're teaching, know what their background is, what they understand, what they don't understand, so that when you talk to them, you get on a level they can understand. And you know the background to bring up with. I was... study with a young man one time, and I walked in. I said, okay, tell me something so I know kind of where to start. He says, I don't know anything. Start at the beginning. Okay, that's fine. I need to know where to start. I'm going to start teaching here. So know the audience there a little bit. Okay, something about how to teach a little bit. The Bible is a great teacher training manual. I probably never thought about it as a teacher training manual, but it is. It's a great teacher training manual because there's teaching examples all through it. Let's look at a few of them right quick. One way to teach is to make it a statement of fact. In John chapter 4, when Jesus is teaching, talking to the woman at the well, he talked to her and he asked her, said, well, she said, verse 25, I know the Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he'll tell us all things. Verse 26, he made a seven-word, very short statement. What did he say? Statement of fact, okay? He just told her a statement of fact. And we do that often in our teaching. We just make statements of fact, okay? What's Matthew 5, 6, and 7? From a little mouth. Jesus is doing a lecture, if you will, a discourse. So that's a teaching style, a teaching technique, if you want to do that. We see it most often in our sermons, okay, from the pulpit. Just a discourse or a lecture. Well, people aren't asking asking questions or anything like that. Just a discourse. All right. Matthew chapter 16 asks a question. Jesus is in Caesarea Philippi, and he asked the disciples, what? Who do men what? Who do men say that I am? Anybody want to know that? What do you really want to know? What's the next question he asked them? Who do you say that I am? Or have I done any good with my teaching of you? Have I shown you? Do you understand who I am? So he asked that question of them. So you ask a question to learn who they are. Matthew 13, a whole chapter full of parables and stories. So you tell a story, illustrate a point, or whatever. Here's an object. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, they came in and they're going to tempt Jesus, and they asked the question, is it lawful to pay tax to Caesar or not? So, what do you ask for? They give me a coin. And they put the coin and said on there, it says, what's the inscription on it? They took that object, used that object to teach a lesson. Who today has used objects in their lesson? You don't know the answer to that one. You got I'm really going to fail. Who set the cinder block up here? Who ripped a $100 bill in half? Okay? Gary, object after object after object he used to illustrate his lessons here. So, use an object to teach from. Let that make your point you're working with there. Contrast. Luke 16. No servant can serve two masters. He will what? Hate the one and love the other. He will be loyal to one, but despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. It's a contrast that's going on there. Happy, sad, up, down. The difference in the things there. And you can also, then you can correct a false understanding. Go back to John chapter 4 a minute and think about that. Jesus back to the woman with the well there. And she said, in the earlier verses, verse 19, Sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain. The Jews say Jerusalem is where you're supposed to worship. And so her whole concept of worship is wrong. What did Jesus tell her? The day is coming when what? Neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem you worship, for God is a what? Spirit, and those that worship Him will worship Him in spirit and truth. Okay? Her whole concept of worship got to be changed there. So even Jesus was corrected a wrong understanding. And you can find examples like this all through the Bible of things to illustrate teaching techniques. Okay. I've been pushed everybody else today. I'm sure I don't run out of time here now. All right. Next thing. Pie. We're talking about pie. Everybody likes pie. How to eat. Different pie here, a little bit. Before we get into that, here's a little saying. I talked about the words earlier. Remember? Tell me I'll forget. Show me I may understand. But involve me, I may remember. Involve me, I'll understand. So tell me I'll forget. Show me I may remember. Involve me, and I'll understand. Now, let me illustrate that for you. One of the moms told me that I had been called by some of the young folks the hip or the cool. I don't know what the word was, elder, because I used an iPad, okay? So we use an iPad here for an illustration. All right. Think of somebody old like me or like Ralph back there, whatever. That's never seen an iPad, never used an iPad. Maybe an old grandfather of yours or whatever. And you bought up a new iPad. And you're going to walk in now and you're going to teach them how to use the iPad. So if you say, the iPads are in the box, you say, okay, Grandpa, when you open the box up, you take it out, and there's a little button on top, you push that button, and when you push that little button, there's a little Apple thing that will come in the middle of the screen, And I mean, it's going to go away. And when it goes away, then there'll be little pictures called icons pop up there. And you just tap on one of those, and it opens it up, and you can just surf the internet, or you can check your email, or do whatever you want to. I mean, there's all kind of things you do for the applications on there. Got that, Grandpa? All right, instead of leaving the box, I'm going to get the iPad out. I'm going to say, okay, Grandpa, here on the top of the iPad up here, come on upside down, don't work. Top of the iPad up here is a little button, and you push this little button, and it comes on. And then when it does, then I'll put it in here. These little pictures come up on here, and upside down. Grandpa's having trouble. Like, I've never seen one. Okay. These little pictures come up on here, and when you tap this little picture, it's called an icon, you can go over here and you can do these various things on here. So I kind of show him what it is. Now, what's the next best thing to do? Okay. Put it in his hand, okay? Grandpa, here's the button up here on top. You push this little button up here, and it comes on. And after it comes on, take your finger and you have him do it. Now, what have you done then? You've involved him in it. You've got him involved in it. So, how much did he get when I just told him about it? Not much. When I showed him about him touching it, I left for him to fix later, probably not much. By putting it in his hands to get him involved in it, he understood. Now, that's the idea. So, if we start thinking about these next things here, think about it. We want your students involved. Why did I leave those blanks in that paper for you to fill out during this little session? Just to give you something to do? Why? I want you to do what? I want you to think about the words as you write them down. I want you to get involved in the class. I want you to have your understanding by writing those things down and getting more senses involved in it to know what's going on. All right. Teaching is usually an iPad thing. Teaching is easy as pie. Present, involve, and evaluate. Three words. You see, it's easy as pie. All right. Tell me, some blanks in your thing there. Tell me ways to present, present material. How can I present material to you? How can any teacher, if you're out here at school or anywhere else, how can a teacher present material to you? Think up. We got to go. Chart? Show you? Okay, I have a chart on the wall up there. What else? Huh? Handouts. Give you a handout. Here's some material to go learn tonight. You have a test on it tomorrow. Write on the board, okay? Write on the board. Have you read it? Use a PowerPoint and have you read it. What else? What's the most obvious one you're missing? Speak, okay? I can tell you something, okay? I can present your information by telling you something. So let's look at some list here. I can do a lecture. I can speak to you. I can do a handout. I can use a bulletin board. I can write on a marker board. I can use PowerPoint. I can give you an illustration or a case study. All these ways I can present information. So you want to, when you go to teach, you're going to present information to your class. The question is, what technique will you use? Now, if you're in the little bitty classes over there, what I say you're going to do every 3 or 4 or 5 minutes? To change techniques, right? To keep the attention span going. So you want to use various techniques in your teaching as you present material that you just don't get up there and, like, I get in a groove sometimes. I say, groove's a better word than a rut, okay? Getting a rut sounds bad, like my groove. So I get in a groove sometimes and I get the same technique going over and over and over. So find different ways to present your material to your class. Now, I stands for involve. How can I involve my class? What can I do? What did I just do? I'll ask you a question, okay? I've involved some of you answering questions. What else can I do? To involve the class. What did I just ask you to do? Write the answers in your book as you go. I want you involved. I want you involved in the class. Why? I get you involved. I promote understanding. All right? What else can I do? Do what? Ask them for your input, okay? I could say, okay, state me this, recite me this. You had a memory verse assignment? Recite your memory verse to me. Okay? I guess you're involved in doing things there. Here's a little list. I can do a debate. I can do a field trip. Tim Richter was teaching, had the after services Sunday night, 6th through 8th grade class a while back. He told me he took him and went down the hall to all the different classrooms down through here and talked about the teachers in those different classrooms and what they're doing in the teaching. A little in the building field trip, if you will. Okay, with those 6th through 8th graders who went through there. A panel discussion. Steve was talking at lunch today about perhaps next year in one of our sessions here, having a panel discussion. Let some people submit questions, and the panel take those questions and deal with them. So that's one way to involve different people in there. Quote a memory verse. Read a scripture. I asked some of you to do that earlier. Answer questions verbally. Write on a handout. Different ways to get your class involved. So present material, get your class involved, and then the last one up here is evaluate. How can you evaluate your class? We want learning to take place, right? How do I know if you're learning? Give you a test, okay? 20% of my class, walk church. Give you a test. What else can I do? What did we talk about last class? It's not uncommon to walk into a class the first thing and you say, okay, let's do a review. What did we talk about last time we're here? So you want to go back and say, are they remember what we talked about in the last class period? All right. What else? How can I evaluate? I mentioned earlier about, I give you a memory verse. What are we going to do? Have you recited the memory verse? Okay. Here's a list. Test. Give you homework. Bring it back. Link to class. Listen to your quote of verse. Listen to answer a question. What question did you ask? If you ask a question of me, then I can use that to determine, he doesn't really understand that yet. Oh, yeah, he's got to make an observation. If I am teaching someone the plan of salvation, how do I know when I've been successful? Okay, when they are converted and are baptized, right? I have been successful in teaching them the plan of salvation. And that when they respond and do it. So I can observe my students. I can observe you in your everyday activities and see how responsive you've been to what you've been taught and teaching there. So, okay. PIE, present. Let's spend the last just a few minutes here on visual aids, talking about that. Handouts. Information sheets that we might pass out. You can use handouts as here's a piece of material. I want you to go read this, and that's kind of what some of the stuff in the book we give you today is. Questions to do in preparation for class ahead of time. Questions to do at the beginning of class. I've walked into classes before and had a handout of questions, and I hand it to you and say, okay, take the next 10 minutes and fill out these questions. I just sit there for 10 minutes of class period time and say nothing. That sure is wasting class time. No, I want you involved. I want you digging through the verses or whatever to find out the answers to those questions. So I do that, and then we take those questions, and we dig through the rest of the class period there. Or I can have you fill it out during the class. Okay. So handouts. Bulletin boards. Bulletin boards can be a solid type thing. They're just on the wall. I don't talk about them. I just do this there. Students come in and look at them. Might see a lesson on them. Or I can walk up to the bulletin board during the class and point to it and make a reference from that bulletin board. Interactive things. Go to a map or a bulletin board. Have a student get up and do matching. I've done a lot of this, and I just teach a 7th grade class years ago, and put stuff on the board and have them draw lines across there and match them up and get them involved. Go up to a map. You're studying things like places Jesus went and things like this. Paul's journeys, put a pin on the map. It's always show his journeys across there. Pictures, drawings. And maps these days, with the technology we have, this is a shot of the Sea of Galilee, taken from off in the distance. And it's shot here from the Dead Sea on the west side looking north toward the mouth of the Jordan River. We have so much resources that we can gather from, pictures to make things come to life with that. All right, last 2 minutes on PowerPoint. PowerPoint is probably the most prominent visual aid we use these days. Let's talk about PowerPoint a little bit. PowerPoint is a tool designed to augment your presentation not be your presentation. So don't, and we're going to talk about reading, don't spend so much time working on your PowerPoint that that's all you have. I go to class, I mean, he's got a great PowerPoint. It did this, it did this, it did this, it did this. What are we teaching? Earn your slides, main point. What are we teaching? Live a whole main point. I told you to wake up back then for that one point. Okay? We're teaching the text. We're teaching the lesson that's in the text. We're teaching what the Bible says at that point. So don't get so engrossed in your PowerPoint that you miss that totally. Okay? When you're using PowerPoint, don't talk all your time talking to the screen up here. It's not listening to you. Now, if I want to take and use a pointer and point it to me up here, it's fine. But I want to talk to you. The PowerPoint's there for you to see, you to read. I know what it says. I made it. Okay? So talk to your audience. Don't talk to the screen behind you up there. And unless it's a direct quote, don't just read your slides. I'm almost like insulting you because can you read? If you can read the slides, why do you need me? I want to use that as an augmentation to my class, not to be my class. Okay, PowerPoint. Use pictures. Pictures, again, are visual. Something that you visualize, like the object we talked about earlier. Font size. Don't make a PowerPoint presentation. Guys, if you're doing a Wednesday night talk and using PowerPoint, think about the size of your font. Ralph back there has got terrible eyes. Okay? He'll admit he's got eye problems. I want a font he can read sitting back in my back row back there. Okay? So make something big that he can see it. Don't make it real little up there. And don't get a real busy, complicated slide, okay? Keep it simple. Keep some white space, we call it, on there. 4 to 6 lines of text is generally enough on a slide so it can be readable. Some of you were in my high school class last quarter. I told you I was going to use this in here, didn't I, John? All right. Avoid long paragraphs or blocks of text. Like this one. That was in my class last quarter. I told you some of the things I tell you here don't do, some of the things I do sometimes. But don't do this. Just don't make a habit of this anyhow. Sometimes you need that for one particular point you're making. But long blocks of text, nobody's going to take time and plow through all that and read it. So don't do that. Okay, don't get so lost in the pretty slides, the fancy transitions, the what flies in and flies out, and all this kind of stuff. That stuff gets old. Okay, it can be done. PowerPoint's very powerful if you know how to use it. Great stuff with it. But don't overuse animation until it takes away from your class. Okay, it's something to help you teach your lesson, not to be your lesson. Limit your number of slides. This is a bad one I have. I get too many slides. Steve, Tracy, send them back there. I've seen them use 3, 4, 5 slides and do a whole 45-minute sermon off of them. Usually I've got 30 slides in a class. I keep putting slides and material up there. But don't get so engrossed in slides that you just can't get through them all because everything's up there. And keep it simple. Don't let your slides distract from your presentation. Okay? You want simple slides. You want to add to your presentation to help teach your lesson, to add another visual, another stimulus, another sense to your lesson rather than taking away from it. So what have we done? We talked about what to teach, know your assignment, know what your assignment is, understand it, know your assignment, teach from the Bible, teach the Bible text, know what the text is teaching, know your material, know it well, know who you're teaching so you can direct your comments to the appropriate age level with the appropriate background so you don't get over somebody's head. Know what they understand to start with. We looked at some biblical examples of how to teach. Go read, as you read through the text, get the message, but also understand what the text is. It's got in there that shows you, for example, of how to teach out there. We talked about presenting material, involving the students, and evaluating, getting feedback, learning. Are they learning? Learning's got to take place and we taught some about the use of visual aids. Okay. More of a how-to class, kind of built on what's been talked about all weekend long. All right. 4:31. Pretty close. Questions? Somebody? All right. I'll be around later if something comes up. If you don't understand, somehow I went through in a hurry. Whatever. Okay. That's it.